Hello and welcome to the Free Gift Podcast, originating from the Free Gift Gospel Mission. The Free Gift Gospel Mission is an independent Bible-believing church preaching Jesus Christ as man's only provision for redemption and salvation. We are located at 1025 Maple Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, on the corner of Maple and Brook. This podcast is a Christ-centered ministry reaching out to souls with the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. Save me, buried, he carried my sins far away,
rising, he justified freely forever. Where we'll begin our reading, Acts 13 and 35. And this is part 65 since we started preaching verse by verse through the book of Acts. Here the Bible says in verse number 35, "Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And verse 47 says, For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. God bless you for standing. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Verse 35 again, Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. This is a reference to Psalm 16. We covered Psalm 16 in fairly lengthy detail in the last message, so I won't go over it again, but let me just make a summary statement of Psalm 16. David trusted God. David believed God. David fled to God for protection. David understood that everything good comes from God. David understood that nothing comes from God that isn't good. And David understood that all praise belongs to God. David understood that all glory goes to God and God alone. And he chose the Lord as his portion because God had given him the wisdom to do so. David understood that God is always watching. I hope we know tonight that God is still watching. God has eyes that go to and fro in this world. He beholds the good and the evil. There's no part of this world that is hidden from the sight of God. No part of this universe. No part of God's creation that's hidden from the sight of God. God is watching. So then in Psalm 16, David cast his mind forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would die on the cross, be placed in a borrowed tomb, and rise again the third day. Christ would not rot in the grave. He would not see corruption. No corruption would come upon him because he had no sin. He was sinless. Christ has made a way for all of us who believe in Him. We may die one of these days, but just like Jesus Christ, when we have believed in Him, we passed from death unto life. So we too shall rise again and enter into everlasting joy. For the Bible said, at His right hand are pleasures evermore. I like that, don't you? That's an unlimited duration. Evermore. Unlimited. So when you know Christ in a saving way, there's always more joy to be experienced ahead. When you know Jesus Christ, there's always something to look forward to. But if you die in your sins, there's always more suffering to be experienced ahead. But the pleasures of God are not like the earthly temporal pleasures we have here in this life that will soon come to an end. The pleasures of God last forever. And it's a comfort to know that when we leave this world and we know Christ, pleasures evermore are what we enter into. So that's my brief summary of Psalm 16 tonight to get us up to speed. And now verse number 36 says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Not only did David see corruption in the grave, but so did the people of his generation. The subjects of David's kingdom, they also saw corruption. Even after David served them by the will of God, David obeyed the Lord. David did what God told him to do, maybe not perfectly, maybe not 100% of the time, of course, but he knew the will of God. And generally speaking, with the exception of a few well-known incidents that we are familiar with, generally speaking, he followed the will of God. And after having lived his life in this fashion, David died, and his death was by the counsel of God. And none of us will ever leave this life before God is ready for us to die. Amen. You're not going to die before God is ready for you to die. And likewise, on the other hand, you're not going to live a moment longer than God would will for you to live. David was the same way. I just finished a biography on Stonewall Jackson. Stonewall Jackson was a man of faith. He was a good Presbyterian. He had faith in God, much like David and the rest of us. Surely Stonewall Jackson was not a perfect man, and sometimes he would be criticized for throwing caution to the wind, maybe getting a little too careless out on the battlefield. But this is exactly why Stonewall Jackson got his name. They're at the first Battle of Bull Run. They show up on the battlefield, and there they see him standing there, and one man says, "There's Jackson standing like a stone wall." This is why Stonewall Jackson was able to ride tall in the saddle out on the battlefield with guns and cannons blazing all around him. He wasn't out there hunkered down. He wasn't out there ducking and dodging. He said to himself, he said this very same thing. He said, "I will not die before God is ready for me to die, and I'll not live a moment longer than God permits." And as God would have it, he died at the age of only 39 years old from injuries sustained in battle. And although I would encourage us all to use wisdom tonight in every situation, and I would say you should not be throwing caution to the wind in any situation, but the reality of the matter is this. Yes, he didn't live very long. But when God is ready to take you out of this world, my dear friend, all of the ducking and dodging and hiding is not going to keep you here one moment longer than God wills for you to be here. God is the one who's in control. This is what David believed. This is what you and I should believe. So when David died and his body began to decay in the grave, his spirit went to be with the Lord. And as John Gill stated, that sweet psalmist of Israel is singing songs to the Lord much more beautifully than he ever sang when he lived upon this earth. The Apostle Paul announced clearly that Christ had risen from the dead. He did not remain in the tomb. He rose again. He's alive today. He got up alive, and he's still alive, and he'll live forevermore. The truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a truth that transformed the apostles. It transformed them. They didn't take it with some attitude that says, whatever. No, it transformed them. It was central to their Christian lives. It was central to their preaching. We really need to spend some deep time in thought pondering on the empty tomb. Have you done that lately? Have you taken the time lately just to stop and ponder on the empty tomb? Because the empty tomb will change your life. Jesus isn't there anymore. He's alive. It's life-changing. Look at verse number 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Sin has consequences. Sin has consequences. Sin destroys lives. Sin tears people apart. Sin tears families apart. And the Jewish people here in Acts chapter 13, they were very aware, well aware of this. Their only hope was to do just like David and to cry out to God for mercy and grace and forgiveness. Even Solomon stated, "For there is no man that sinneth not." That's pretty plain even in the King James, right? There is no man that sinneth not. MacArthur said this, "The critical issue for the Jewish people was what to do about sin. As the ancient book of Job expressed it, how can a man be right before God? How then can a man be just with God? Or how can he be clean who is born of woman? The most common answer, adhered to above all the Pharisees," this is still a quote, "the most common answer adhered to by all the Pharisees was rigid external conformity to the law. But such legalism, being merely human effort, was powerless to restrain the sinful tendencies of man's fallen nature, and it imposed a crushing burden that no one could bear, since cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them." End quote. So, if we're trying to earn our salvation by law keeping, we're just wasting our time. Amen? If we're trying to earn our salvation by what we do, by our good works, by keeping the law, it's all just a wasted effort. We're just laboring in vain. But the truth of forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ will liberate you from that bondage. His death on the cross satisfied the demands of God's law and made salvation available to everyone who will repent and believe the gospel. And this salvation that comes by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is complete. It's a complete salvation. It is full, and there's nothing that'll ever need to be added to it. So Paul had already given scriptural support for the resurrection and had explained the significance of everything that Christ has done, and now he's calling for them to believe. You need to believe, he's saying. You've got to believe. There is justification in Christ for everything that you could never be justified from by the law of Moses. It's found in Christ. Justification occurs through Jesus Christ and His sacrificial death on the cross. God will not ignore our sins and just accept us anyway because He's holy. He'll never accept His own people, the Jews, just because of their connection to Abraham. And by trying to keep the law of Moses, there's a bigger issue, and that is the matter of our sinful human nature that needs to be dealt with. And it has been dealt with through the death of Jesus Christ on the old rugged cross of Calvary and His finished work. That's how it's been dealt with. Our justification comes on the basis, not of what we've done, but on the basis of what Christ has done. So when you repent and you believe the gospel, you become acquitted. And everyone who would otherwise remain a hopeless prisoner is set free. Praise the Lord. They're set free. It's because of Christ alone that we escape having to pay for our own sin for an eternity in hell. Jesus paid it all. This is good news. This is good news. Forgiveness and freedom are found in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And this includes you if you believe. If you've trusted Christ, God has declared you not guilty the moment you were saved. And my prayer tonight is that each and every person hearing this message has received this forgiveness that's available in Christ. Verse 40. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Well, after quite some time now, we have just come to the conclusion of Paul's sermon here in Acts chapter 13. And this is a warning against rejecting the salvation that's offered in Jesus Christ. He's warning them. Paul is telling his hearers that you need to be careful so that the things spoken of by the prophets don't happen to you. That's what he's telling these people in Acts chapter 13. In particular, judgment for unrepentance. Judgment for unrepentance. Verse 41 is a quotation by Paul of Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse number 5. Words that were spoken of God's judgment against Judah. Paul is saying here, be aware, because this is the judgment that came in the Old Testament when people refused to repent. So, Paul left his hearers with the same choice that we all face. Accept Christ or reject Christ. That's the choice. We can either accept Him or reject Him. Accepting Christ means salvation and everlasting life. Rejecting Christ, on the other hand, means eternal damnation. And that's not good. You don't want eternal damnation. Verse number 42 says, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. I like this. The Jews that left the synagogue, they weren't very happy. This shows their contempt for Christ. They left the synagogue to show that they did not believe the gospel. They did not believe and accept the message that was being preached, and they had stopped their ears to it. Nonetheless, from the Gentiles, an invitation was given for them to come back again next week and speak again. Well, that seems like a positive response, but it wouldn't be positive for long. But they were interested. This sermon interested the audience. They were so interested, as a matter of fact, that they wanted to hear the same thing again the following Sabbath. Now, it's a good thing that Paul had piqued their interest here enough that they wanted to hear him again. That's effective preaching. But it was not a good thing that they were postponing their conclusions concerning the Lord. But that seems to be what many people are doing today. They're postponing their conclusions concerning Jesus Christ. They're trying to put it off. I don't want to deal with Christ today. I want to put this off until tomorrow or next week or next year. I don't want to deal with it today. I don't want to make a decision today. I don't want to come to a conclusion about Christ today. Let me wait. Let me wait on that. That's what people are doing today. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It says, now. We don't need to put this off. It says, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews chapter 3 verses 7 and 8 says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. This is a right now situation. Verse 43 says, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. continue in the grace of God. So these Jews and religious proselytes referenced in this verse were probably those who had responded favorably to the gospel that was preached, or either they were about to respond favorably. It was a simple message that had been given, and they were simply being exhorted to continue to rely on the grace of God. The meaning here being, continue in the direction that you're going now. That's what Paul's telling them. Continue in the direction that you're going now. So that's why I say they had either responded positively to the gospel or they were about to respond. So Paul and Barnabas have just boldly declared the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and boldly preached that forgiveness of sins is found only in Him. And when they returned for their visit on the following Sabbath, huge crowds of people showed up. Huge crowds of people came out to hear the Word of God, including many of the Jewish leaders. So even though efforts were made by these Jewish leaders to try to discredit the Apostle Paul, and efforts were made to try to discredit the message that he preached, many people embraced the preaching. Well, this really, really infuriated the Jewish leaders. So much so that they would eventually rouse up an angry mob and run Paul and Barnabas out of town. But look at verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So, the next Sabbath, these people come back because they're truly interested. They're truly interested in what is being preached. They didn't do like so many folks do today after a service and they say, "Oh, preacher, that was such a great, great service. I was really, really fed in that service." And then you don't see them anymore for 6 months. That must have been a well of a feeding to last that long, right? The well of a feeding right there. But these folks came back the following Sabbath because they were anxious to hear some more of this preaching. And they had a ton of enthusiasm about it. They were excited about it. And they spread the word, and lots of other people showed up also. Now, albeit the Jews weren't too crazy about all of this, so the bulk of this crowd was more than likely an influx of the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the Jews were filled with envy. They were filled with envy. Friends, envy is a terrible mess for you to fall prey to. Right? Envy is a terrible mess to fall victim to. Envy is defined as a feeling of uneasiness, mortification, or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another, or to repine at another's prosperity, to fret or grieve at oneself at the real and supposed authority of another, and to hate them for it. That's envy. Isn't that awful? That's awful, right? Envy. Envy. That's envy. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 30 says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." The rottenness of the bones. Envy can be a very dangerous thing. Envy has no place in the life of a child of God. These Jews in the audience were filled with envy. When it says they spoke against Paul's message, that was a denial of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. That was a denial of justification by His righteousness, which according to them came by the law. And the contradicting and blaspheming refers to the way that they spoke publicly against Paul. They spoke evil of Paul himself as a person. And they spoke evil of Paul's doctrines that he preached. And all the while they were doing this, they were also spewing blasphemies against Christ Himself. So that's what's taking place here. That is a downright hideous and ugly seem to imagine. Is it not? But this is what envy will do to you. Verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." The Jews were prejudiced, and they resented that salvation was made available to the Gentiles. Now think back to that story of Jonah, where we read chapter 4 of Jonah at the beginning of this service. What happened? Well, God spoke to the prophet Jonah. And God told Jonah, "Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh and preach the preaching that I bid you to preach." Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He thought it was a horrible place, so he disobeyed God, and he ran and jumped a ship headed for Tarshish. Well, the big storm comes. The people on the ship, they know that this storm is about to do them in, and it's all because Jonah's on board and he's running from God and he's disobeying God, so they throw Jonah overboard. Well, God has a great fish prepared. Jesus called it a whale in the Gospels. Fish swallows up Jonah. Jonah spends several days and nights in the whale's belly. And then the fish spews him out. Jonah decided that he needed to obey the Lord. So he went on to Nineveh, and he preached the message that God had bid him to preach, and they turned from their wicked ways, and God spared the city. Well, Jonah got mad about it, didn't he? Jonah was upset. And this is the same attitude that these Jews had here in Acts chapter 13. But Paul and Barnabas responded to all of this foolish negativity. That's what it was. It was foolish negativity. And Paul and Barnabas responded by boldly stating that it was necessary that the gospel go to the Jews first, because it was God's plan that through the Jewish people, the whole world would come to know Him. So the Jews of all people should have been the most ready for everything that was to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Instead, they weren't ready for it. What they did was they attacked Paul and Barnabas. They tried to make it look like their attack was on theological grounds, but the real reason for their attack was just simply envy. It was envy. They saw Paul and Barnabas succeed where they were never able to succeed, and it made them jealous. It's hard to worship God when you're jealous. Did you know that? It's hard to rejoice when your heart and life is full.
Hands that heal nations, stretched out on a tree, and took the nails for me.
Thank you for listening to the Free Gift Podcast. If you would like more information about our church, please visit us online at www.freegiftgospelmission.wordpress.com. Our service times are as follows: Sunday school for all ages at 10 a.m., morning worship is at 11 a.m., Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We are located at 1025 Maple Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, and we welcome all visitors. If you would like to correspond via email, you may email me, Pastor Vern Hall, at freegiftgospelmission@yahoo.com, or you may write to Pastor Vern Hall, 3301 Martin Farm Road, Johnson City, Tennessee, 37601. We look forward to seeing you at the Free Gift Gospel Mission, where the gospel is preached and the Lord Jesus Christ is praised. Until next time, may God's blessings be upon you.